Blog Talk Radio.
This morning on the monitor, if Jokic and Murray being the first
pair, the first 17 makes it to have a triple double in a playoff game. In the NBA finals. They were asking this morning again, let me clean that up, if Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray team, they're the first teammates in a NBA finals game for two guys to have a triple double. And so this big news today that they're saying that they're looking at it like pretty much asking the question does that make them like the best duo ever or whatever the case may be? Does that make Nikola Jokic the finals MVP? All that stuff. Can we go ahead and crown Nikola Jokic the finals MVP right now, today, as it stands? Can we go ahead and crown him the man? So, I'm like, it's a little bit too early because Jimmy Butler not done working. Right now they got on the monitor, Nuggets beat the Heat 109-94, Denver lead series 2-1. Nuggets never trailed in the second half, led by as many as 21 points. What went wrong for the Heat in game one? I was reading across the monitor this morning, Jimmy Butler was saying it starts with me. Again, Jimmy Butler is putting it on his shoulders. He's saying it's my fault. Don't worry about it. Don't talk about the other guys. It starts with me. I got to be better. I got to be dominant. I got to be the man. I got to put this team on my shoulders and carry them across the finish line again. So I don't want to sit back and start saying, well, is Jokic are we deeming him to be the finals MVP right now? I'm not ready to commit to that. I'm not ready to commit to that yet because if I know Jimmy Butler, he's going to come out guns a-blazing. He's going to come out guns a-blazing. So I'm not ready to really commit to that just yet because he'll come out guns a-blazing. And, eventually they got to go back to the West and play anyway. So he'll be like in the wild, wild West, guns a-blazing when he get back to Denver. But I believe Jimmy Butler going to get one at home. I believe he's getting one at home, and he's going back to Denver guns a-blazing, blazing saddles. So I don't want to discount Jimmy Butler as being count him out as being the MVP of these finals. I'm not ready to give it to Jokic yet. They're saying across the monitor again, Nuggets defeat the Heat 109-94, and the Nuggets lead the series 2-1 again. Which teams can be a threat to Denver? Game 4, Nuggets at the Heat tomorrow, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. Tomorrow, that's going to be on the monitor and on your radio stations. Just check your local listings for what networks that's going to be hosting that. But we're going to see what happens with this whole thing. But that's the big deal this morning. Nuggets withstand the Heat. If everybody saw my topic day before yesterday, it was Heat melts the Nuggets. Heat melted the Nuggets the other day, but today my topic is the Nugget withstood the Heat. There was no smelting down of that Nugget into fine jewelry and gold. That Nugget withstood the Heat last night. So, yeah, it's crazy. But they're saying what teams can be a threat to Denver moving forward. I don't know. Good question. I'm going to assume the Miami Heat. I'm assuming the Miami Heat can be a threat to Denver. They're playing them in the finals. We also can consider the Los Angeles Lakers as they're currently constructed. They can get hot. They're currently constructed. They were right there, and LeBron James almost made a run back to the finals. He almost got his team back to the finals as they're currently constructed. I just think that LeBron James got to come off the bench more against that team. I don't see him being able to continue to play the minutes that he played and be at his most effective rate. Just like right now, they're talking about trading Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul pretty much past his prime now? I just think when you got a smart, savvy vet like a Chris Paul, you got to just let him stay in the league and let him do his thing. You got to let him stay in the league. You got to let him do his thing, but you got to know how to use him. He can't. He probably can't start. He probably is going to be a guy that's, you know, maybe 5 minutes, 5 minutes each quarter. So that five times four, 20 minutes. 20 minutes, 25 minutes. That's it. 20, 25 minutes a game. But his 20, 25 minutes are not going to be your typical 20, 25 minutes of the average rookie or free agent bench player, role player. That's not going to be the same 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes. There's going to be a different 20 to 25 minutes. You guys got to understand that there's going to be a difference there because of the talent level and the IQ of the player. Chris Paul can come off the bench and effectively give you quality minutes and quality leadership. He definitely can lead the second unit. LeBron James can definitely lead the second unit and be just as effective if he's out there with the first unit. And he can still get his minutes with the first unit, him or Chris Paul, and still lead. They don't have to be on the court all that time. Think about, I hate about free agency and I hate about the market. The market will tell you, well, get rid of the guy. That's what the market will try to tell you. Get rid of the guy. Just get rid of him and start from scratch. Get somebody younger. With the IQ of these great Hall of Famers, it's hard to let them go. Because you can restructure contracts and stuff like that and just be like, hey, man, look, we want to keep you, but you got to be willing to let us restructure the contract, and you got to take another type of role. But you still have a home here. You helped us build this. We want you here. We still want you here. But it's business, and I can't tell another man how to spend his money because there's some decisions that I got to make for my own business. I just started a new business myself. Has nothing to do with sports, but even in that business, I got to trim fat in certain places and certain stuff I don't want to do, certain things I don't want to do, certain stuff I don't want to invest in. Certain decisions have to be made on certain things. It's because at the end of the day, what's the bottom line, people? The bottom line is money. We already know that. The bottom line is money. So I can't tell the owner, hey, man, you got to keep Chris Paul, or you should keep Chris Paul. If Chris can't deliver that championship, I understand their concern. But I also have to say that Chris Paul, LeBron James, whoever, it's just certain players that you can't get rid of. Even AD, you know, he's brittle, but I mean, where are you going to find another AD when he's on? Where are you going to find another Chris Paul when he's healthy? Where are you going to find another LeBron James when he's healthy? LeBron James right now, in my opinion, is the greatest basketball player on the planet right now. Well, I'll put it like this here. LeBron James is number one. He surpassed Jordan as far as all time. Right now, the best basketball player on the planet is Nikola Jokic. But best, greatest of all time, is I got to go with LeBron James. For the simple fact that what he did this year, he took his basketball team, and we'll get back to the NBA Finals. I'll get back on topic here in a second. But the point that I'm making is that while I'm talking about free agency and what teams can be a threat to the Denver Nuggets next year, I got on this because of, I said the Lakers could be a threat. The Heat obviously could be a threat to the Denver Nuggets. So this is all ties into what we're talking about with our topic. But going back to LeBron James real quickly before I get off of him, he has surpassed Michael Jordan as being the greatest of all time. What keeps Michael Jordan relevant right now is the shoe deal, that lifetime Nike shoe deal. He has a lifetime Nike shoe deal. And I believe that LeBron James also has a lifetime Nike shoe deal. But, however, the Michael Jordan's brand, his brand, the Jumpman brand with Nike, that's what keeps Michael relevant at all times. But as far as playing, I say LeBron James because what he did this year, he took a group of role players and drug them all the way up to the last stands that are going to the NBA Finals. You guys got to understand, they were playing against the Denver Nuggets to get to the finals, to get to the NBA Finals. Okay, that's what you guys got to understand. He came all the way from the seventh seed. Damn it, just like the Heat. There was one seed higher than the Heat in the East. Two different conferences, one seed apart. It can be done, people. Jimmy Butler proved that you can take a team from the 8th seed to get to the finals. LeBron almost proved that you can get past the come from the 7th seed and get to the finals. They just couldn't get past Jokic and Murray. And I think they got a 4-2. I think they got a 4-2 sweep or a 4-1 gentleman sweep. I can't remember how many games the Lakers won. They won one or two. But with LeBron James doing that with a bunch of role players and a AD, that I think AD overall had a good series, but I think he had some moments in there to where he probably could have put up another 20 points for whatever reason. For that team to be successful, AD got to always be putting up 40-something points, 40 to 48 points a game. That's what we have to have from AD for that team to be successful. LeBron James, he contributes in other ways, but if he's on, he's going to put up his 30. If AD has to put up 40 to 48, LeBron James, he got to put up 30, and everybody else got to at least have 12. If you don't have that, if you don't have those numbers, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for the Lakers to be successful, you know, getting over a team like Denver, in my opinion. Across the monitor, they're saying, where's the best destination for Chris Paul? Suns could waive Paul by June 28th, guaranteed date on his contract. The Suns could waive Paul by June 28th, guaranteed date on his contract. Where's the best destination for Chris Paul? With the Phoenix Suns. That's the best destination for him. Leave him right there. Y'all got a new coach, Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel will know what to do and how to use him on that roster. And I think Chris Paul is at a point right now, it's not so much about, in my opinion, I don't see Chris being a guy saying, I got a star and I'm too good to come off the bench. I understand that Chris knows that his body can't go through a grueling season with that groin. That groin has been an issue. It was an issue when he was with the Clippers. They almost beat the Spurs. I think that year they did knock the Spurs out, but they lost Chris Paul moving forward. And I think that was probably around about 2013, 14, somewhere up in there, I think, when he was with the Clippers. We had him. And a couple years after he was supposed to be going to the Lakers. And they said, no, you ain't going to the Lakers. You're going to the Clippers. They blocked it. I think Adam Silver and all of them, they blocked that trade. They were like, no, we're not letting y'all stack heavy where y'all getting Chris Paul. We're not letting y'all have Chris Paul and them two. Who was that? Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol, and all of them. They were like, no, we're not doing that. We're gonna let the he can go to LA, but he can go to the Clippers. He's not going to the Lakers. But he took the clip. He was with the Clippers, and then he got that groin was nagging him. And I think they put out the Spurs that year, but they didn't have Chris Paul moving forward to go against the rest of those teams like Houston and stuff like that. They couldn't withstand it. They had to have these teams when Chris Paul is on the team, and then you lose him. This is how important this guy is. When every team that's lost him due to injury, it's detrimental because the leadership that he provides, that little step back jumper that he got, you know, where it seems like he kind of like freezes you in your tracks with that little move, you know, he does that little move and it steps back and bam, that little jumper, and it goes in. And when he get to the, he can also take it to the rack with a nice little layup. Do his crossover, get to the hole, stuff like that. Chris Paul can play. So when you lose this guy, it's a detriment to your team. So they're saying, where should he go? I say, keep him right there. You guys already changed the coach. Got Monty Williams out of there, which I thought that was stupid. I thought getting Monty Williams out of there was stupid. I thought even talking about trading DeAndre Ayton is stupid. I don't care if you got to keep jumpstarting him to play. I don't care if you got to stay on his ass. Excuse me, people, I'm cursing on my show. I apologize. I don't care if you got to stay on his butt. I don't care. All I'm saying is that All I'm saying is that you got to light a fire from the guy sometime. But where you going to find another DeAndre Ayton? They're talking about Boogie Cousins is down there playing in Puerto Rico. Dwight Howard says he's not retired yet. I guess he's trying to say, hey, look, if a team wants me, I can come in and contribute. But then it's a question of his availability. He has those back spasms or whatever. He got a back like mine. Always spasming up, tightening up, can't get out of bed. He got a back like mine. Stiff back. And I know what it feels like to have a stiff back and bad feet. I know what it's like to have a stiff back and bad feet. Trust me, people. And I said earlier last week that, you know, I was going to let you guys know how it went with me going back to the boxing gym. I did go back to the gym. I showed up 2 days just to find out that they were not open and just to find out that they only train people from 6 to 7 every night. Training is only 6 to 7. And I'm like, what kind of training is that? You can't train a person in boxing for an hour a day. That won't work. That won't work. So I don't know how they're doing that. I don't know how they're doing that. Unless they're saying we just show up to spar for an hour worth of sparring. You know, if that's what you're doing, that's one thing. But I can't see how that works. But, yeah. So I got to find another gym. So instead of me going to a boxing gym, I might have to go to a Muay Thai gym where I can at least get my boxing skills back right. And I probably saw, you know, have to get back into my kickboxing techniques. I am a martial artist as well, but I was just trying to do my boxing stuff right now. But however it works out, it works out. It's going to be a full body workout rather than just an upper body workout now. But I just want to let everybody know I did make it to the gym. I did make an effort. Moving forward, I'll keep you posted on that. But, yeah, where's the best destination for Chris Paul? I'm thinking leaving right where he is. They already got it. They already changed the coach. Don't do anything else. Don't mess with that team. Leave that team in place. I would restructure Chris Paul's deal. I would structure it to where we can put some more money on the back end when he decides to retire or move on. We'll maybe owe him some money. I would give him a little bit of that now and restructure to pay him the rest of it after he moves on or retires. I would set it up some kind of way like that. But they also could say, hey, Chris, go out there test free agency and see what you can get. If you can, you know, be a starter again and get your max money that you can get and all that, just see if somebody will pick up the tab. Me, myself, though, Chris Paul ain't going nowhere because you can't – he's still the best point guard in the league. If you take a – right now, even at 38 going on 39, you take a healthy Chris Paul – with his IQ, still has a jump shot, still has one move, that step-back jump shot, and his leadership, and you take some young kid, like, let's say, I believe, a De'Aaron Fox, I think he's the point guard for Sacramento, I'm just using De'Aaron Fox as an example. You take him, and you say, who do you want, Chris Paul or De'Aaron Fox? I'm going to say Chris Paul all day. I'm going to have to say Chris Paul all day. But the simple fact that Chris Paul, his leadership, you can't find it anywhere else. Chris Paul's a dog. I think he's one of them guys where you love him, but you hate him. He stay on your butt all the time. He keep trying to light a fire up under you. He's going to demand the best out of you. He's just like Jimmy Butler. Just like Jimmy Butler right now. He wants the best. I want the best out of my guys. I don't want no slacking. I want the best. And if you can't give them the best, they're going to be on your backside. But, you know, that's what they're supposed to be. That's what a leader does. A leader demands his squad to be great. It's 5 men on their court. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to be the leader. Somebody's got to be the alpha. Somebody's got to be the alpha. And when I see Chris Paul play with anybody, he's the alpha. Not KD, not Ayton. Not Booker. It's Chris Paul. He's the alpha. Not James Harden when they was in Houston. Not Russell Westbrook. I think they played together for a minute there too. No. It's Chris Paul. He's the guy. But don't get me wrong. Speaking of Russell Westbrook, he's also a leader. He also commands your best. Yes, Russell Westbrook, who almost took the Clippers, got them past the tried to get them past the Nuggets, I believe. I think they got wiped out by the Nuggets. No, the Phoenix Suns got them out of there. Phoenix got them out of there. But Russell Westbrook, without his two stars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, he gave them a hell of a run. He gave them a run for their money, and he did good for Clipper Nation. And they were talking about probably letting him go this, you know, in free agency and all. I'm like, man, y'all crazy as heck if y'all let Russell Westbrook go. Russell Westbrook is out there. He has something to prove. He's rejuvenated. He plays well with Kawhi Leonard, plays well with Paul George. They play well all three together. It's just a matter of health. And if anything, he's going to make it through the season every time. But the others don't. Kawhi Leonard and those knees, he has knees like mine. He has knees like an 80-year-old man like mine. Those kind of knees I got because I got flat feet, bad knees now. They've been having bad knees for some time because of my flat feet. But I don't know if Kawhi Leonard has flat feet, why his knees are so bad, but Kawhi has bad knees. He always has some knee stuff going on, you know, but that the Clippers is my squad, and I like Kawhi, I like Paul George, and I like both of them along with Russell Westbrook. Don't break that team up. And I'm talking about breaking up teams because right now it's almost like I think June 28th, people can start moving pieces. They're going into their NBA free agency. The draft is about to come up. So I'm taking a little time to talk about this, but what I'm noticing on the monitor, segueing over to the NFL, we're starting to get some NFL stories back up now because it's getting close to camp. They're talking about the Vikings are releasing Dalvin Cook. If they can't trade him, they're going to just release him. They're going to try to trade him and get something back for him rather than just releasing him out there. But if they can't find a trade partner for him, they're going to release him. I'll take him with the Saints. That gives us an okay quarterback in Derek Carr. That fixes the running back problem because Alvin Kamara, he has some legal stuff going on. I don't know what's going on with that. Mark Ingram, I don't know if he's still signed to us or not. But, you know, he gets played with some injuries. Dalvin Cook, I think, been pretty solid. So I'm thinking that what we need to do for the New Orleans Saints to try to go after Dalvin Cook. I don't know what we give up. Do we give up Michael Thomas for him? I probably would. We got Chris Olave out there now as a receiver, if I'm correct. I believe that's who we got, Olave, young receiver. And I think he came out of Ohio State or somewhere. But we got Olave. We'll let him tote the load at wide receiver. Derek Carr can get the ball to him. We'll have a running back in Dalvin Cook. We can save some money. We probably can save a little bit of money with Michael Thomas, save a little bit of money by letting him go. Because I think he obviously probably is getting paid more than Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook's a running back. Thomas is a wide receiver. So we probably can save a little bit of money there and go ahead and bring in Dalvin Cook at running back. Now we got a solid running game. We got a veteran quarterback who's at least been in the playoffs within the last two seasons because they did go to the playoffs year before last and lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Raiders did go. And Derek Carr took them there, but they lost to the Bengals and Joe Burrow, if I'm remembering correctly, year before last. So I'm thinking that if we can go ahead on and get a running game going, we already got a good wide receiver, already got a lot of pieces, got a good defense. I think adding a running game to the mix where Carr doesn't have to constantly throw, I think we'll be okay. And when he does throw, he got a good solid guy, you know, to pass the ball to. I don't think our offensive line is that bad. I think we got a good offensive lineman in the draft. We got a good offensive line. We got a tackle. If I'm remembering right, we got a tackle. And what was his last name? Breezy. Somebody named Breezy. And it, I was laughing because it was like Drew Brees, but this guy has an E on his last name, offensive tackle. So we got a new offensive tackle. So I think we had a pretty decent draft for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm segueing to football because there's a lot of football topics popping up because it's almost camp time. People making moves, people adding people to their roster. DeAndre Hopkins, he's out there. He's chopping at the bit. He wants an opportunity. Mike Vrabel said that they're bringing him in for to work him out on next Tuesday for the Tennessee Titans. They're going to bring him in. So, you know, teams are starting to make their moves going into camp. Teams are starting to make their moves going into camp. So that's why I was talking about football for a little bit. Segueing back into the NBA because it's NBA time now. But before I get on that, tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, we got the Stanley Cup Finals where the Vegas Golden Knights are leading that series 2-0 over the Florida Panthers. They're going to be going at it again tonight for the Lord Stanley Cup for the NHL. So NHL Finals is going on right along with the NBA Finals. Exciting time for the folks out there in Vegas with their Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas Golden Knights probably going to, it looks like they could possibly sweep Florida, but we'll see. We'll see. I think the big guy for the Florida Panthers is Kachuk. Actually, he was on the NBA Finals segment last week, and talking to Charles Barkley and all of them on the monitor. And Kachuk, I think I saw him in the last game lay somebody out. I think he laid a guy down, Kachuk, and got up. We had to go to the penalty box, as they call it. So we'll see what happens tonight. We'll see who gets knocked out. One thing I like about hockey, those guys be laying some wood. They're skating around on those skates, but they're laying some wood. You can imagine how fast those guys are skating, and then to lay a blow on somebody, blindside blow. You know, I wouldn't want to be out there. I won't put it to you like that. First of all, I can't skate like that. Second of all, I don't want some guy coming at me full speed on ice, on those ice blades, coming at me full speed and trying to knock my head off. That I don't want. So, with that being said, I'm gonna let you guys have that hockey, but I do like to watch it. So yeah, tonight the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They have with a 2-0 lead going into game 3 against the Florida Panthers. That'll be going on tonight on the monitor. You can check your outlets and the media and stuff like that to find out the broadcast stations they're going to be putting it on. But Stanley Cup Finals game 3 tonight, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern tonight. They're saying across the mind, the Nuggets win game 3 as Jokic and Murray both post triple-doubles. Did the Heat get exposed in game 3? I tell you, these people, the media, we always got to come up with a storyline. And they also saying up on the monitor, who is your all-time starting center? Who is your all-time starting center? Nikola Jokic, Denver, first player with triple doubles in a single season. First player with 10 triple doubles in a single season, Nikola Jokic. And then, you know, they're showing Shaquille O'Neal, Jokic, Kareem. Hakeem Olajuwon, they're showing Bill Russell and Tim Duncan. That's to have your name in that conversation with all those great legends. That's something else. Who's my favorite out there? Come on, y'all. Greatest center of all time is Cap. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Don't even question that. That's Cap. Simple as that. 30-10-10 a night. 30-10-10. That's what he says. That's my average. That's what I get. Get the ball to me when I get down low. 30, 10, and 10. So we're going to end that conversation with who's the greatest center of all time. It ain't Jokic. It was the greatest scorer of all time until LeBron James just a couple months ago, broke his record, and he passed the torch on to him. So, you know, this Cap. Greatest center of all time is Cap. It ain't Jokic. I don't care nothing about no 10 triple doubles in the singles. I could care less about that. He'll never score as many points to break LeBron James' scoring record, and he'll never break Cap's record. He's right behind LeBron James. and he's not behind LeBron James by much because he just broke the record. Now, they're asking also, like I said, you know, Nuggets win game three. It's Jokic and Murray both post triple doubles. Did the Heat get exposed in game three? I don't think they got exposed at all. They just ran up on a professional basketball team that's got the number one offense in the NBA. I mean, people, you got to understand, you are the Denver Nuggets is considered a professional basketball team. So when you say, did they get exposed, how are they getting exposed? How are they getting exposed? That makes no sense. I don't believe in all that, oh, this person got exposed and the whole nine yards. But with that being said, we're going to take a quick station break. We're going to take a quick station break and listen, you know, play a couple tunes for you real quick. And we'll be right back. For those of you just tuning in, you're tuning in to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show with your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. With that being said, we'll be right back. Stand by. We'll be right back. back to the Soul Liberty Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Soul Liberty Radio Show. Our topic for today is Nuggets Will Stand the Heat. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regard the sport they love the most in front of a live global streaming audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NBA Finals Game 3. We talked about that. And breaking news and scores from NHL. We discussed that. And NCAA men and women's sports, meaning the College World Series, and we got to get off into MLB scores and NFL. We talked a lot about the NFL this morning, the limited amount of information, which is increasing because it's almost that time again for the NBA camps and everything, NFL camps to start up again. So the NFL headlines are starting to come back. Talking about DeAndre Hopkins in free agency trying to find a home, Ezekiel Elliott trying to find a home, you know, all things definitely Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets and stuff like that. But yeah, so with that being said, you know, we're back with you. If you'd like to call into the show, call in the area code 515-602-9687. Call in the 515-602-9687 and put your hand up in the queue, and we'll kind of come to you. If your hand's not up in the queue, we'll just let you continue to listen. But once you want to talk, put your hand up in queue, and I'll come to you. Looking like we got a caller. We got a caller, 6921, 6921. I think that might be my man, LT, I believe, out there in New Jersey, I believe, 6921. And I'll definitely have him, if that's him, have him plug his radio show real quick when he come in. So 6921, and this is my man LT from New Jersey. Definitely come on in and plug your show, and then we'll let you get off into what you want to talk about. Good morning, sir, and how you doing today?
Jersey,
go ahead.
And it's called the Enhanced Sports Show, Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Number to call is 512-543-4662.
All right, thank you for that, my man.
Sure.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. We'll let you plug in one more time before you get off of here. So what's going on with you this morning? Did you see the game last night, Nuggets and
Yes, I did. And I'll tell you, I think the Nuggets need that game because if Miami was going to take that game and then play another game at home, they would have, I think, a considerable edge. And that also would have been tough for them to come back from. So they won that game, and they needed that game. Especially from being surprised in that awful game two they had, which was a big shock.
Man,
I did not see the Nuggets. I mean, because the Nuggets were by 15 points in game two, and then they just collapsed. So they thought, they lost that game. Like, this could be a big advantage for Miami here.
I think it's just going to keep going down to at least six games. I got Nuggets 4-2. Jimmy Butler's not going to let those guys lose another game at home. They lost this game. I believe Jimmy Butler's going to put them on his back to have a game in their pocket going back to Denver, and he's not afraid to go back to Denver because he's already beat them on their home court. What do you say?
Right. Yeah, they usually do be on their home court, but Denver was so tough at home this year up until that game two performance. So it's going a little bit not what I expected, but the Nuggets do lead the series. But it's gone in a very unusual direction here.
Yeah. Before we get back on the NBA, I want to segue over here a little bit since I finally got me a hockey expert on the line. I see that the Florida Panthers, they're down 2-0 right now to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. What do you think they need to do to get back in this series?
They need a lot of help. They need to work on their offense. They need to work on the power play because their power play is just sinking like a rock. I mean, and they've been outscored like 12-4 in this series. I mean, they really got their offense exploding. Otherwise, this series is going to be over by Saturday. I knew Florida was going to have a tough time going into the series though. Anyway, the Golden Knights, you know, have been strong all year and they're not letting it at all. All right, so they had a little thing with. In the semifinal round, but they have learned to adjust to that, and they're as strong as ever. I think Vegas is unstoppable.
Yeah, this is their second time in their franchise history getting to the finals, am I correct? Second time.
Yes.
Yeah, because they went back in, what was it, 2018?
Yep, their first year of existence.
Yeah, that's right.
But
their first year.
However, it was not your typical first-year team because that team was loaded with veteran players who've also won cups with other teams. So when they brought this franchise together, they brought experienced players with them, and that's how they were able to do it. You weren't just running a bunch of, you know, college kids that never played the game before. You know, this was an experienced team, and that's what you expect from that.
Okay, since you said that, let me throw this at you though. Now you got the Seattle Kraken. They went deep this year. Well, I ain't gonna say deep, but they went midway. Were they the same type of team built with vets, or was these rookies?
Well, they were experienced, but I don't think they were as experienced as the Golden Knights players. And when they had an awful year the first year, which is expected, I mean, this was a complete turnaround for them. I mean, I don't think anybody even in Seattle thought that they were even going to, you know, get to the semifinal round.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was that was the surprise team from last year. Now, if only you can get the Supersonics back to Seattle. But that's another story.
I don't know if they're going to be getting their franchise again.
For those of you of the younger generation, you now call them the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thank you.
Yeah, so
segueing
back to the NBA real quick.
Right.
They're asking across the monitor, should the NBA All-Star game now be the USA versus the world as far as the NBA All-Star game? I don't know if they should do that.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of like basically separating, you know, it's just be East-West. I don't think it should be the
East
world
West,
versus.
Just be East-West.
Yeah.
You had something good going. Now you want to try to tamper with it. That's the problem. You know, just go back to what things was. Make it simple. East-West. Forget the other stuff, you know, to try to make it a gimmick, you know, because sometimes gimmicks just don't work.
Like the gimmick that they currently have right now in the All-Star game is not competitive. It looks stupid.
Oh,
you know, we're picking, you know, like you at the basketball court. Yeah, we're going to pick players. No. I don't like how they're doing. I think it's just the All-Star votes, both the guys in for the East and West, and play to win.
The Pro Bowl was a real joke this year. I'm like, well, what was that? It was like watching a pickup game with, you know, on the playground. That was not a football game.
Right. I quit watching this stuff a while back. I don't think I've watched the Pro Bowl since they done it that year and they had all those highlighter uniforms about 2 years ago. You can go into somebody that had all those neon uniforms and it looked as stupid.
Neon,
I'm like, what is this gimmick? What the heck are we doing here? You know, I would rather just see, really, I'm going to be honest with you. In all these All-Star games, besides baseball, because you really can't not play baseball. Baseball is one of those sports. If you're on the field, you got to play. You're going to be competitive.
Right.
But football, because it's contact. NBA basketball, because it's somewhat contact. These guys, they'll get it. Oh, I don't want to get hurt. Okay. Well, how about this here? You'll get voted to the starters get voted in, but they don't play. They'll mm-hmm. pick a player from their team to represent them in the game. I like it better that way. That way you'll have a real game because these guys coming off the bench, they're going to play. They will play. And if you're an All-Star, be out there signing autographs, kicking with the fans, do all that. But the game should be players that's fighting for a contract, trying to get more money, trying to come off the bench. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it does.
If you want a competitive game.
Yeah, because there was nothing competitive about the Pro Bowl game this year at all. It was like watching, you know, it was like touch football, you know, like just doing with, you know, in the park with friends. I mean, that was not a real game.
They're asking across the monitor, Nuggets never trailed in the second half, led by as many as 21 points in game three. Who wins game four, the Nuggets or the Heat? Who do you got? Game four, Nuggets Heat tomorrow.
Can I flip a coin on that one? I think maybe the Nuggets have something. I think maybe they found their way back. I know that Butler, you know, is going to do everything he can to, you know, try to even things up. But I think maybe Denver's on to something.
Yeah. Before you came on, they was asking a question on the monitor saying who is the best center of all time? Is it Jokic? Is it Kareem? Is it this one or that one? They had a cast of characters up there. But when I seen Cap up there, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I said, there's no comparison. For the simple fact that the only person that's outscored him is LeBron James, and that was just, a couple months ago. So
yeah.
Jokic is probably never going to catch Cap at the number two spot. Am I correct?
It's doable, but more likely not. It can happen, but I'm doubting it.
I'm doubting it, man. That record stood a long time. And look at how LeBron James, look how he had to do it. I mean, a lot of that, they had different games. LeBron James did it in multiple ways. Cap did it in one way. Give me the ball down low, right? And I'm going to do what I do. But, you know, LeBron James, his game is kind of like all around. You know, it's better in some, better in some areas than others, but he had to do it in multiple ways. And you're talking about, and Jokic really has the same, I would say he has the same type of game for the most part, like a LeBron, because he can shoot from the outside. He can hit his threes. He can hit his mid-range jumper, and he can also play down low. So, and he gets a lot of his own rebounds. And what do you think about when they say when Jokic, he sees padding his stats by rebounding, you know, getting his own rebound, like he'll miss a shot, get it back, and put it back up. They're saying like he's just padding his stats. Do you agree with that?
I think he might be shooting his mouth off a little bit there. I mean, he's good, but, you know, I mean, he's a good player, but, you know, I think he gets a little carried away with himself.
Yeah, but, you know, when it all comes down to it, you know, it's going to be a great series here in Denver and everything like that, man. But before I get you out of here, plug your show one more time, man, before I go back into my next break.
Simple. The Enhanced Sports Show, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Number to call is 512-543-4662. We're also available on YouTube. All you got to do is go to YouTube and dial in The Enhanced Sports Show. Exact words, please, otherwise you won't get in. And you'll see previous shows that I've done over the past few weeks. And you can look that up anytime. But remember, the live show is Saturday from 4 to 6.
All right, my man, LT, we want to thank you for coming on the show, man. Definitely get back with us during these NBA finals. And everybody definitely check him out on the NBA. Thank you for coming on, my man. We'll talk to you soon. With that being said, we're just talking a little bit of NHL hockey with my man LT and some basketball with my man LT out of New Jersey. He's calling into the show from time to time. We want to thank him for calling in again, you know, adding a little bit of color to the commentary. And talking about some things that I myself don't have the best knowledge in. You know, I'm more of a football guy and a boxing guy. Those are my two things. But I can hold my conversation definitely for the NBA because I was a pro rec league basketball player one time, so I do know basketball as well. But when it comes down to hockey and baseball, golf, tennis, and things like that, I need a little bit of help for some of these other mainstream American sports and soccer. Like when the World Cup came in, you know, you need some other caller to call in that have played these sports and a little bit more knowledgeable and add a little bit of color to my commentary. So, I love to have my sports contributors call in. I have my guy, JB, he calls in, talks about baseball and basketball. My man, DC, baseball, basketball, football. LT, he'll call in from time to time, and I can pick his brain about hockey like I just did a minute ago. So I'll be the first one to tell you that I don't know everything about all these sports. But, however, I do like to open up the panel for people to call in and talk about them. You don't have to call in and talk about what I'm talking about. Be nice if you did. But at the same time, if you're an expert in some other sports and this stuff coming across the monitor that we need to know about or go in and discuss, then definitely call in. Like right now, soccer, the world of soccer, we got Messi. He's joining the Miami FC franchise, and so that's big news right now. Messi going to Miami. So a lot of people are are going crazy over that. So that'll give them another major franchise down in that area. They got the hockey, they got the football, they got the baseball. Now they got the soccer team down there, I believe, in South Florida. That's where they'll be playing at. So over the monitor, they're saying the Vikings ought to release Dalvin Cook. Which team should go after the four-time Pro Bowler? I say the New Orleans Saints. We could use him. We need a running game. We need a solid running game. If our running game could help, you know, Derek Carr out so he don't have to throw the ball so many times. I don't want the Saints to be a passing team because I'm going to be honest, Derek Carr to me is just not a passing type of quarterback. I think he's solid. I think he's about he's right there with Dak Prescott. Maybe I would say Dak is probably a little bit better in my opinion. Or he looks a little bit better based on the roster that's around him. I don't know if it's Derek Carr's roster that's around him that constantly keeps him from getting to the playoffs. But since he's been in the league, I think Derek Carr has been to the playoffs only twice. I think the first year was the year that his quarterback got his I think that was the year that he got his leg broke. I think somebody missed the block or didn't hold a block, and then he got hit. And I believe he broke his leg. That was the first time they were in the playoffs, if I'm correct, and got put out. Then, the year before last, he was in the playoffs with where they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. So I believe he's only had two playoff appearances in the years that he's been in. And I think he might have been in maybe the last 12, 13 years, I think. But it's hard to win a football game. So that's not uncommon. It's hard to win a football game. But we're starting to have more football news, like I said, because it's getting close, people. Football's about to be back, and then the headlines are going to be back. And I want to just apologize to everybody for not being on air yesterday, but I made a decision in my mind. I said I'm going to just take a me day because when I really looked at everything, it wasn't really much headlines to talk about. When the NBA disappears during this time of year when they have a couple of days of break due to scheduling or whatever the case may be, I don't know if it's due to rest or scheduling with the networks because we got college baseball going on. We got NHL Stanley Cup Finals going on at the same time. We got Major League Baseball going on at the same time. So I don't know if it's scheduling with the networks or whatever, but when the NBA right now is not playing, when they're not playing, you don't have anything really to talk about. Football, they're just now cranking their headlines up. So I took a day off yesterday because I'm like, well, it's not really much to talk about. Let me just watch the game last night. Well, at the time, I was like, let me watch the game tonight because I knew they was playing yesterday night. And I'll just watch and see who wins the game. Then I'll have stuff to talk about this morning. So that's why I always tell people, depending on what's going on, this show is on most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. That translates to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. But most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, depending on what's on the monitor, if it's not much on the monitor to talk about, I just wait until I can get some material. I need that bulletin board material to come up here and entertain you guys. And yesterday, it just, like I said, baseball sometimes only gives you so much to talk about, and really that's more so scores and stuff like that, you know. But the big news right now for football is Vikings plan to release Dalvin Cook after six seasons. He had 1,173 rushing yards and some other bulletin board material, but they're planning to release Dalvin Cook in football. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the New Orleans Saints will allow him to come in and be our running back. That would be great if that happens. Because God knows he gave us some problems a couple times when we played them. So he'd be good to bring in to replace Alvin Kamara, who's had a troublesome past year, getting in trouble out in Vegas. I think last year he was able to join the team after he dealt with some court stuff or something. But I think that's still looming and that discipline still has to be passed down on him by, I think, the Vegas Police Department and the NFL, Roger Goodell. So I don't know where all that just stands, but, you know, we've just been having a lot of stuff going on with our black athletes, African-American athletes, however you want to look at it, in these major sports leagues. And we just, except for baseball, I don't hear much about our athletes. Not that many of us in baseball anymore. It's more Dominican. It's more people, Latino, more Latino, black Latinos. In the league, in Major League Baseball now, but the few blacks that are in Major League Baseball, however so many that are left, I don't hear much about them. That, and it's probably because it's a different culture. Yeah, I don't hear anything about a Mookie Betts. Seriously, I don't hear anything about a Mookie Betts. And at the same time, as far as black Latinos go, I don't hear anything about a Vlad Guerrero, Vlad Jr. I don't hear anything about those guys. It's just a different culture. Basketball, totally different. Football, totally different. Totally different. I don't understand what that is or why that is. It's two different. It's two different cultures and two different mindsets in football. I think football is more like hip hop. It's a hip hop culture. Football is a hip hop culture. Basketball is a hip hop culture. And I'm sorry, just that when I say hip hop culture, I mean it's, you know, it's different stereotype. It's different. It's a different culture. And if this athlete takes on a hip hop type of culture versus country western or a rock type of culture, like maybe in I think baseball, I could say it's more country western. You know, because it's a lot of more white guys. So it's like I believe the culture in Major League Baseball is different from the culture in football and basketball. I love hip-hop. I'm a hip-hop head, hip-hop historian. Trust me. I used to be an A&R in the music business, and I had a whole lot of hip-hop acts. And I also, not just all African-American. I've had some white hip-hop acts. And my white hip-hop acts, or Caucasian hip-hop acts, however you want to look at it, They were good. They could actually rap. They were sort of like, what's my man out here, Jake Harlow. I had some Jake Harlow. Oh, yeah. I had some Jake Harlow, very skilled. Very skilled on the mic. I had some Jake Harlow. But I had, of course, mainly African-American acts. But I'm just saying, I'm just segueing kind of like off into the cultures of these different sports. A lot of our black athletes, they can't stay out of trouble. They can't stay out of the media in the two sports of basketball and football. They make the storyline. That's why we in the media, we can't wait for football to start back up, because football has, on each team, is 53 different stories, because it's a 53-man roster. It's 53 different stories to talk about on each team, if position of getting in some trouble. Basketball is stories, but it's the NBA finals right now. It's the finals. There ain't but two teams playing, so we ain't got much to talk about but the two teams. And then we're talking about a little bit of free agency, like right now, CP3. The Suns discussing his future with the team. Could be Wade. What's the best option for Chris Paul this offseason? Like I said earlier, the best option for Chris Paul, segueing back into NBA free agency, is to stay right there. Where are you going to find another Chris Paul? Where are you going to find another Chris Paul to come in and do what he's doing? Where are you going to find him? I don't know if my man DC is seeing this. One of my number one sports contributor on this show, I would challenge him to say with the Knicks release their point guard Brunson to go to the Suns and then pick up Chris Paul for a little bit more for maybe less money, free up some cap space, and bring him in and let him lead the team. But you never know how these general managers think when it comes down to spending their money and where is their money being spent. So yeah, free agency. You know, I love it. I love it. I love free agency. It's just I hate when they start breaking these teams up. But They already got a new coach, Frank Vogel, is with the Suns now. So I'm just like, why don't you just let the sun shine with Frank Vogel and lead the team like it is? Just restructure Chris Paul's contract. That's what I would do. The thing about Chris Paul, I know the knock on him is he gets hurt a lot. That groin injury has been plaguing him the last couple times he's been out, if I'm correct. I don't think it's ever been really a knee or an ankle. It's been that groin strain. I don't really hear a lot about his back, his knee, his ankle, a wrist, a hand. It's none of that stuff. A foot. It's always that groin, that nagging groin injury. And you know, yeah. And he has the best trainers out there to stretch him, to push him, pull him, and all this different stuff. But I don't understand why that groin can't heal up. Besides the fact that he's 38 years old, he's almost a 40-year-old man. And, you know, I can't believe me myself. I'm like, what am I? I'm like 11 years older than he is. So I do know about nagging injuries. I mean, just this morning, just to get up and get on this show, I had to do my rehab just to sit at my monitor and entertain you guys. So, yeah, it's hell when you start getting older. Things just don't bounce back like they used to. Things don't bounce back like they used to. But what I always try to say is be the best you. Be the best you at whatever age you're at. If you're 50, be the best 50. If you're 60, be the best at 60. And I'm trying to be the best right now at 48, going on 49 in July. So I'm trying to be basically the best I can be at 49 years old. That's why I'm going back to the boxing gym, trying to get my skills back up in case some of these youngsters try to run up on me in the streets. I can have my right hand and my left jab oiled up and ready to go. But anyway, just a little joke for y'all this morning. But yeah, we're gonna go off into a quick station break real quick so the late night dog can wet his throat, and then come back and finish up the show with some NFL free agency stuff. And I'll try to see why I'm on break, get my man DC to call into the show and talk all things sports. So give me a quick minute. We'll be back in about 5-10 minutes at the most. Stand by. Yes, yes. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Yes, our topic for today was Nuggets will stand the heat. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most in front of a live global streaming audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NBA Finals Game 3 and breaking news and scores from the NHL, NCAA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. Let's get off into our scores and everything for the morning. Let's see here. Of course, we already know the Nuggets and the Heat NBA Finals Game 3. Denver leads the series 2-1. Denver won the game last night 109-94. Nikola Jokic, 32 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists. He had a triple-double, so did Jamal Murray. Had a triple-double. Bam Adebayo for the Miami Heat had 22 points, 17 rebounds. I don't think Jimmy Butler got too loose last night, but he has taken the blame. He's putting it all on his shoulders. He's saying that it's his fault. Don't blame anybody but him. So he's taking responsibility for the loss last night, like most leaders will do, most good leaders anyway. That's what they do. They take the blame. So he's saying they're going to come back ready to go. They're going to come back raring to go. So I believe him. That's the way Jimmy Butler operates. And I don't think he's going to lose two games at home. I just don't think he's going to allow his team to lose two games at home, even if it comes down to it just being a 4-2 sweep, 4-2, not gentleman sweep, but a 4-2 six-game series. At least they won one in Denver, and they won one at home. So that's solid, even if they don't pull this thing out. So we'll see what happens with that, but that's what's going on in the NBA. In the NFL, big news today, Dalvin Cook being released by the Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook being released by the Minnesota Vikings. So we got to see who's going to pick him up. I'm hoping that my New Orleans Saints will pick him up because they're going to add to our run game, because here lately we've had Alvin Kamara legal problem. We had Mark Ingram can't stay healthy. Dalvin Cook, he's been solid for who was that? Doggone. Kirk Cousins, he's been solid for Kirk Cousins for the last 6 years. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can pick him up. But they're also mentioning rumors about the Dolphins may pick him up. And he went to Florida State, so they may be getting, you know, a guy that went to a Florida college on the Miami team. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, let's see what else we got here. I'm waiting on my man DC to call into the show. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it today. Hopefully he can, because I want to ask him a couple questions about all things sports. Let's go off into the NHL. Let's see what we got here. Scores. All right, for the NHL, tonight we're going to have at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, the Stanley Cup Final, Game 3. Vegas leads the series 2-0 right now. Vegas leads the series 2-0. Golden Knights and the Panthers tonight, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Again, the Golden Knights and the Panthers, Stanley Cup Final, Game 3. The Vegas Golden Knights lead the series 2-0. So we'll have some scores and everything on that for tomorrow. See what my man Kachuk going to do. See if he going to lay somebody out. And let's get off into my college sports. Get off into my college sports here. I believe we got, for the women tonight, they're going to be playing Game 2 tonight. Let's see, we got at 4:30 Pacific, that's 7:30 p.m. Eastern. 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Number 1, Oklahoma against number 3, Florida State. Again, number 1, Oklahoma and number 3, Florida State. Women's College World Series Championship Series. Game 2, Oklahoma leads the series 1-0. Oklahoma is a powerhouse. I think they've won 52 straight. So number 1, Oklahoma, their record is 60-1. And against number 3, Florida State, whose record is 58-10. Women's College World Series, World Championship Series, Game 2. Oklahoma leads the series 1-0. So that's in college sports. So let's go back. Let's go back to get the men, see what's going on with college baseball, where the men's are at in their super regional. What's the score? The schedule for tomorrow is going to be Duke against Virginia. Duke will be playing Virginia. We'll also have TCU against Indiana State. We'll have South Carolina against Florida. Oral Roberts against Oregon. That's going to be for Friday, June 9th. That's tomorrow. Everything going to kick off at 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific, and that'll be 12 p.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for the men, for the NCAA Baseball Championship Super Regional for Duke and Virginia. That's for the Charlottesville Super Regional. We have TCU and Indiana State. That's going to be the Fort Worth Super Regional. We got South Carolina and Florida. That's the Gainesville Super Regional. Oral Roberts in Oregon. That's the Eugene Super Regional. So that's what we got for the men's Super Regional going into the College Baseball World Series for the men. So that's what we got. That's going to kick off tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And what else we got here? Let's go off into the Major League Baseball. Let me get my scores from yesterday. I believe my Padres pulled it off last night, pulled off a big win. But let's see. All right, we have the Athletics. We have the Oakland A's winners, finally. Oakland A's won one, 9-5 over the Pirates. They improved to 14-50, and the Pirates are 32-29. So, you know, that's kind of like a big difference in wins there. Oakland Athletics, 9, Pirates 5. I think the Oakland A's are holding out for, you know, on any effort until they get to Vegas. Then we got the San Diego Padres, my San Diego Padres. Anybody that listens to the show know that I'm all things San Diego, past and current San Diego, and all things Louisiana. So now so the San Diego Padres winners, 10-3 over the Seattle Mariners. Again, San Diego Padres winners, 10-3 over the Seattle Mariners. My San Diego Padres improved to 29-33, and we're 15-18 at home. So let's go down here. We got Florida Marlins winners, 6-1 over the Kansas City Royals. Florida Marlins winners, 6-1 over the Kansas City Royals. The Tampa Bay Rays winners, 2-1 over the Minnesota Twins. Tampa Bay Rays winners, 2-1 over the Minnesota Twins. The Arizona Diamondbacks winners, 6-2 over the Washington Nationals. That's not good. I needed them to lose that game. Come on, Nationals. I needed y'all to beat them. Arizona Diamondbacks winners, 6-2 over the Washington Nationals, or Nationals, whichever one you want to call them. Then we got the Toronto Blue Jays winners, 3-2 over the Houston Astros. Toronto Blue Jays winners, 3-2 over the Houston Astros. Cleveland Guardians winners, 5-2 over the Boston Red Sox. Cleveland Guardians winners, 5-2 over the Boston Red Sox. We have the Cincinnati Reds winners, 8-6 over the L.A. Dodgers. Thank you, Cincinnati. We needed the Dodgers to lose. Cincinnati Reds winners, 8-6 over the Los Angeles Dodgers. We have the Atlanta Braves winners over the New York Mets, 7-5. Atlanta Braves winners, 7-5 over the New York Mets. We have the Milwaukee Brewers winners, 10-2 over the Baltimore Orioles. Baltimore Orioles currently sitting at 37-24, 20-12 in away games. But the Baltimore Orioles, they lose last night. I guess that ain't going to make my man DC happy. Brewers spanked them 10-2. Wow. And we have the St. Louis Cardinals winners 1-0 over the Texas Rangers. St. Louis Cardinals winners 1-0 over the Texas Rangers. Then we have the San Francisco Giants winners 5-4 over the Colorado Rockies. I needed the Rockies to win that game to help my Padres out. But San Francisco Giants winners 5-4 over the Colorado Rockies. Rockies, you let me down. We have the Anaheim Angels winners 6-2 over the Chicago Cubs. Anaheim Angels winners 6-2 over the Chicago Cubs. And we have postponed two games were postponed because of the air quality in New York, out there on the East Coast, Canada had a big fire. We want to, first of all, send some prayers up to everybody up in Canada where the fire is taking place. And at the same time, with all the smog and everything in the air, all the chemicals and everything that's burning in the air, we want to pray for everybody in Canada and on the East Coast. So they had to postpone the Detroit Tigers and the Philadelphia Phillies game. They had to postpone the Chicago White Sox and the New York Yankees game. So we want to keep all these, keep everybody in our prayers. They were saying the Phillies and the Tigers game postponed to Thursday due to smoke from the Canadian wildfires. So that's what's going on, why those two contests were postponed. The Tigers and the Phillies were postponed. The White Sox and the Yankees were postponed due to the Canadian wildfires. So we want to keep a prayer out to everybody in Canada and the United States and those areas in the U.S. that are being affected by this Canadian wildfire. So that's everything we had right there for we went over our Major League Baseball scores. But let's go over our Major League Baseball schedule for today. Let's go over our schedule for today and see who we got on deck to play today, because it is baseball season, so I got to get the schedule out for you. And just trying to get the schedule out to make sure that and everybody knows who's playing, where they're playing, and all this good stuff. So what we got today? We got for Thursday, June the 8th. Let me see if my man DC calling in. Yep, we got him here. We'll get back to our schedule later, but you got the scores from last night, which is important. You want to know who's playing today, just go ahead on and call on. Check your local monitors and everything, and they'll tell you who's playing today. If I can get that out before I get on there, I will, but I've got to go to my number one sports contributor, DC. All right, DC, I'm going to come to you right now. I got two scenarios for you. Now, you put your thinking cap on. As far as basketball goes, let's just go with this one first. As far as basketball goes, CP3 is on the chop block, which I think they ought to leave the Suns team alone. They already got Frank Vogel as the new coach, so don't shake anything up. Leave the team as it is. Just restructure Chris Paul's deal. However, I want to ask you, would it be a smart move for you got your New York Knicks to sit down and talk with the current ownership of the Suns and say, hey, we'll open up some cap space on our team by sending you Jalen Brunson, and you guys ship CP3 over here to us, and we'll bring him over, restructure his deal, and he can finish out with us. Would adding Chris Paul to the New York Knicks be the leadership that you guys were lacking in the playoffs this year, which caused you not to go to the Eastern Conference Finals? Go ahead, sir. And good morning.
Have you been doing drugs here lately?
I'm just giving you a scenario.
Have you been doing drugs here lately? Because no person in the right mind would get rid of Jalen Brunson for Chris Paul. This isn't 2005 Chris Paul. This is 20 years later.
I asked you to address cap space.
Listen here. The problem with the Knicks was simple. The problem was Julius Randle, is your star player, your chief prospect, right? And I bring it up because you know how when NBA games start, they always announce the starting lineup. And if you're at the arena, the last guy announced is the star of the team, right? And so what would happen with New York is, they would always introduce Julius Randle last because he's the chief rocker. But when it got on the court, it was Brunson that's the chief rocker. So you are right in the leadership issue. But the leadership issue isn't because Brunson's not a leader in the locker room or on the court, because he is both of those. The issue is the team making a decision that Randle is not that dude, right? He's really a second dude on a team. And you say, well, how are you going to be all NBA third team and 2 years prior to that be all NBA second team and be the man next to the man on your own team? And I use Jaylen Brown as a perfect example. right, for Boston. He is definitely not the chief rocker of the Celtics. That's Jason Tatum. And to be quite honest, why he got all the time in the world, Jaylen Brown, we all can agree, probably doesn't deserve a supermax deal at 5 years, $295 million, because he's just not that good of a player consistently. So going back to your statement about Chris Paul, Chris Paul's done. Chris Paul's done. We already got a veteran point guard that barely plays and provides leadership in the locker room, and that's Derrick Rose. And they already told Derrick Rose, we want you back, but at a reduced salary, right? Because Derrick Rose is not worth $16 million or whatever either, right? So I agree. I definitely think that leadership in the veteran locker room and all that, that's what Derrick Rose provides. We don't need Chris Paul.
But how does it look if you had him? How does it look?
Well, I'd take him, but not for Brunson. You know, because Chris Paul can play, obviously, and he could play on the court with Brunson at the same time. But that's still a really small backcourt, right? Because they're both short players. So, you know, that's a small backcourt. Both of them about the same size.
Okay, let's segue to say Brunson was in Phoenix. How does that look? Would that be a combination with a healthy Brunson along with Devin Booker to get them over the hump along with KD and Ayton? How does that look?
You know what? The any point guard that's healthy playing with Babyface Booker, the assassin, would make Phoenix an outstanding team. But the issue with Phoenix really isn't the backcourt. The issue with Phoenix is the front court with Aiken, right? That dude doesn't want to be out there. And they've had all kinds of issues with him. And once they move on from that dude, they're going to be fine. And they can put a bum at the center position. As long as that dude want to be there, they're going to be a better team. You know, what a lot of people don't understand is, and this isn't just in sports, this is in life. But attitude will take you further than talent. You know, there was a story about Jimmy Butler when he played for Minnesota, how he didn't like Karl Anthony Towns because Karl Anthony Towns had an attitude issue. And so Jimmy Butler said, you know what, I'll let you pick the starters, and I'll play with the bench players, and I bet you we'll beat the starters. And so he did. Jimmy Butler and the bench players beat Karl Anthony Towns and the starters for the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is when Jimmy Butler was on the team. And it wasn't because they didn't have the best talent. It was the attitude, right? The second string guys were wanting to play. They want to take it to the guy that's ahead of them in the depth chart, right? And they did, right? Of course, this was just in practice, but they did. And we see that to this day. Miami Heat should not have made it to the NBA Finals. They beat so many teams that's more talented than them, but attitude. So attitude will get you further than talent. Now, a lot of people don't understand.
He seems to me, from the rumors that I've heard in the locker room, he's a hard guy to play with, sort of like Chris Paul. These are two guys that they're demanding. I'm going to demand that you perform. Going back to something that you said earlier about, you were talking about Ayton being at the center position for the Sun. They were saying this morning, hey, they need to get rid of him because you got to constantly always light up, light the logs upon him, set a fire upon him to make him play. And I'm like, sometimes guys are just like that. But I mean, if you got a real leader like a Chris Paul or like a Jimmy Butler, you just keep lighting the fire upon his behind and make him play. Am I correct?
But as a leader, that's draining too, right? Like if I'm paying you $20 million a year to do your job and I need to motivate you every day, come on, my brother, I gave you $20 million. That ain't motivation, right? Ayton ain't come from no he wasn't a part of the Forbes family before he got in the NBA. You know, he was broke, right? So he didn't.
He was swimming in the Bahamas.
Right, But exactly, he wasn't killing it financially before he got in the NBA. So he, you know, you don't recognize the advantage you have. You're an idiot, right?
One of the problems is he's
24 years old. You know, he had everything handed to him. He's a first round overall pick, right? Number one overall pick, 24 years old. And because he's tall, he ain't never had to work to ball, you know, because he had an advantage over most people just because of his height, right? You know, and, you know, you sign a 4-year, $133 million deal. I mean, come on, you know. And you're 20,
well, you got
and then it's a guaranteed contract. Yeah. But I mean, he signed a 4-year, $133 million deal. 4 years old, right? He doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life, and he's gonna, provided he uses money right, be set for life, right?
Mhm.
Unless he start doing the Zion Williamson, James Harden deal, he'll blow through his money if you do that.
What? I'm gonna segue here real quick into the NFL. I want to ask you something. They're letting Dalvin Cook go this morning for the Vikings. Wouldn't it make sense for my New Orleans Saints with the lack of ability at the quarterback position? Yeah, we got Derek Carr. Yeah, he's probably the best quarterback in the division, but he hasn't proven nothing to me in the last 10 to 13 seasons, going to the playoffs only 2 times. If we got a running back like a Dalvin Cook and maybe Sunt Alvin Kamara on his way, maybe do some kind of sign and trade, whatever they call it, send Kamara to the Vikings because he's in a lot of legal trouble, so we don't know what his situation going to be. Mark Ingram being limited if this stays in his career. Would it be a smart move for the Saints to sign Dalvin Cook and release Kamara to make room to get him?
It would be. And I think you guys are a shoo-in to win the division this year.
Yeah, for quarterback play, yeah.
Well, no. Now that Tom Brady retired, you guys are a shoo-in to win the division.
Yeah.
You know. So that at least puts you in the playoffs with the fourth seed, right? Because you'll at least host the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be one and done, but you at least make it.
So that makes sense if we went after him. I don't know how financially how it would look, but I'm thinking this is what I was going to do. I say if we let go Michael Thomas, as well, either or both, let go Michael Thomas, send him over there to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins likes to throw the ball. That's a target. But we got Olave, so we really don't need Michael Thomas. Am I correct?
That's true too. But I
bring
think
in Dalvin
if
Cook.
You just if you just got Cook, it would be win and win a chicken dinner. I mean, you know, I agree with you on Michael Thomas. Like, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm not a Saints fan, but Michael Thomas pissed me off when he waited till after the draft to then announce that he's gonna go have foot surgery. And I was like, are you serious? Understood when he signed the extension and then had the surgery. I could ride with that, right? I could ride with that because it's like you want to secure your future, okay, money out of the contract. But the wait to after the draft to then go have foot surgery, to me, says I don't care about
you. You made yourself unavailable when we could have got another wide receiver.
Correct. Right, that could have in the end been complimentary, because I understand the perception of there's a thought process of okay, well if I get the surgery or announce I'm gonna get the surgery before the draft, then the team's gonna draft possibly my replacement. But I'm saying you put yourself in a position where you're gonna be hard to move because you just signed that big extended contract, right? And then so the team has obviously shown a level of commitment to you. So why not be a team guy and tell them you're going to have the surgery before the draft so that way they can pick up another guy, right? Another guy still makes your numbers better, right? Why? Because if you're always getting double teamed, your numbers are going to not be as good as the number two wide receiver, right? Because the number two wide receiver, in essence, is got to pick a little. I would much rather be the number two wide receiver on a team than the number one guy. Because the number one guy is going to get doubled, and he's going to get the other team's best corner every play, every down. But if I'm the number two wide receiver, I might get a safety, I might get a linebacker. I might have a chance to put some numbers on the board.
Which not to cut off, which basically segue into my next question for you. Speaking of cap space, if you put your GM hat on for the Baltimore Ravens, we got DeAndre Hopkins out there right now that you probably can sign up for a bag of chips and a soda. Got DeAndre Hopkins. Is the Baltimore Ravens, you as the general manager, are you going to bring him in and work him out? Because you have, speaking of double-teaming your first guy, your first option now is Odell Beckham. You got Odell Beckham in there. You probably just signed him for a bag of chips and a soda. Bring DeAndre Hopkins in there and sign him for a bag of chips and a soda, maybe a candy bar. Now, how does that look with Lamar Jackson? He got two targets, and he also has his legs. How does Baltimore look, you as the general manager? Can it be done, and how does it look?
Number one, I don't want DeAndre Hopkins. And it's not because I don't think he's a great talent. I know that's what Lamar wanted. Lamar mentioned that he wanted both Odell Beckham Jr. and I don't want D-Hop. And you say, well, why don't you want one of the best talent wide receivers in the game? I definitely want that. But I'm thinking about the franchise long term. I want to develop some of these other players. The Ravens historically doesn't have great wide receivers. We've had wide receivers that have 1,000-yard receiving. We've had wide receivers that were solid dudes. I mean, I go back to the late 90s. We had a guy named Michael Jackson. He was solid. We had, you know, Qadree Ishmael. He was solid, right? Yeah. But he left, of course. He was limited in his skill set, but he was solid. But, I mean, my point is, so we've had some solid wide receivers. Of course, I personally know Jermaine Lewis, and he was on paper a wide receiver, but he was really the punt returner, kick returner for the Ravens. So he didn't really get on the offensive side of the ball too tough. But my point is we've had some solid guys, but I want us to develop some younger players. And so I don't want all these veterans clogging up spots.
But you're in a win now situation though, DC. You're in a win now situation because y'all don't win and sign Lamar Jackson to all this money. And then on top of that, they're saying on the monitor that he has to stay in the pocket now. He's not allowed to run the ball. Whatever coordinator y'all bringing in or brought in, he's not allowed to use his legs anymore. They just said this on the monitor yesterday. So he has to have the targets. He needs two targets, not one. Because like you said, if they shut down Beckham, who else they going to? And then you're saying,
Mark Andrews.
That's tight end.
We got Mark Andrews, who is arguably, Mark Andrews sometimes lines up in the wide receiver position, A and B. He's arguably one of the best tight ends in the league. Well, I guess you could say not. Actually, it's not technically arguably. He is one of the best tight ends in the league. Mark Andrews, all pro bowler, you know, almost every year he's been in the league and clearly a difference maker. So we do have someone else to throw the ball to. Say this, I'd rather have Dalvin Cook over D-Hop, to be quite honest.
Y'all got a big fullback. Y'all got another the running back.
We got
those
two.
Y'all think y'all need a running back?
We got J.K. Dobbins. We do, but I'm saying I would if I wanted to use my $11.5 million in cap space that the Baltimore Ravens got, I'd pick Dalvin Cook up before I pick up D-Hop. I question, you know, for me, I'm a character guy because the best ability is availability. If you can't stay healthy, if you got problems that get you off the, you know, off the field, that get you off the court, then you're not good to me. You're not worth it to me. Again, the best ability is availability. I'd much rather have a guy out there than who's average than a guy that's sensational and I can't rely on. You know, the arguably the best catch ever made in Baltimore Ravens history was Jacoby Jones, where he caught that 74-yard bomb from Joe Flacco against Denver in that playoff game that sent the Ravens to the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jacoby Jones wasn't no outstanding wide receiver, right? He wasn't nowhere near. But guess what? He was available, and he made the catch when needed. We're in the win now only because Lamar Jackson needs to prove his contract. In my mind, no excuses, dude. No excuses. You don't have an offensive. You don't have the offensive coordinator that was supposedly restricting your play. You got a guy that wants to throw the ball. You can't argue that you don't that nobody likes you because they gave you the most money, despite you not living up to your previous contract. In my opinion, so you got no more excuses. But now,
he does have one excuse. I just told you what they said on the monitor. They saying you're not running the ball anymore. You have to throw the ball. You have to stay in the pocket. Isn't that an excuse? Well, they won't let me run the ball. Well, I got a clear path to score.
No, because the argument is the problem was is you know, you complained that you only had to run because you didn't have no weapons to throw to. So I'm saying we just killed your excuse.
I get you.
So if you're going to put, you know, show and prove, right? Here we go. Show and prove, right?
All right. So, well, look, let me chime in here real quick. I got a segue to something that I need to ask you before you get off of here. Speaking based on what something you just said about character issue. Let me ask you this. This is somewhat of a social question I want you to answer for me before you get out of here. You know how in Major League Baseball, we don't have a whole lot of African-American men playing in Major League Baseball, but we do have a lot of Afro-Latino men that play in the sport and a heck of a lot of white guys. And when you look at culture, you never see the African-American guys in Major League Baseball like a Mookie Betts, get in any trouble. You never see the Afro-Latino guys like a Vlad Guerrero Jr. get in any trouble. Unless it's like the PED stuff, but, you know, that's in all sports. I'm talking about socially, like toting and all that. Move them out the way. Let's go to the NFL. Let's go to the NBA. Why is it that most of our African-American men that are superstars in these major sports are having problems in those two sports, basketball, football. Now, I chalked it up to this culture. In the Major League Baseball, it's more like Coors Beer and country music. Okay, move that out the way. In football and basketball, it's more of a hip-hop culture, more of a hip-hop type of mentality. And I'm not trying to blame it on hip-hop music, but I'm just saying, why is it that those guys in that culture are always coming from basketball and football in trouble, but the black athletes from baseball don't?
First of all, I unfortunately, you are correct. Your assessment, your observation is correct. And part of it is, and there's been a lot of stories and segments done on sports documentaries touching on parts of that. But the thing is, it is a character issue. A lot of these pro athletes don't understand what it truly means to be successful. Like, they just want to get the, quote, bag, but they really don't understand what they're trying to play for and why they want to be successful. That's why there's a character issue. You got to recognize, what are you in this for? You just in this for payday? Or are you really in this because this is your dream and this is your lifelong goal, right? Because if so, you're going to approach it differently. You know, I made a joke about Zion Williamson earlier. You know, to have a romantic relationship with a porn star, I am not against anyone doing any kind of job, and I'm not demeaning her for being a porn star. But you're gonna try to wife her, and you're gonna get her pregnant, which means you wasn't practicing safe sex on multiple occasions. Not, you know, it wasn't just, oops, I slipped one night. This was routine. You routinely did not do this. And if you're a pro athlete, you ought to know that you are a target. You know, I remember there was a story going around on social media about Drake. He met some chick in the club. He took her back to the room. They had intimate relations. He wore a condom. And when he got done, he took the condom and put hot sauce in it and put it in the trash can. And then she picked up the condom and emptied the content inside of her. And then the hot sauce of her and gave her infection and discomfort. And, you know, because, again, you got to know that you are a target. So why would you make yourself available to a porn star, right, in that way?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a baby by her. You know, you're going to carry on your legacy by her. And then she's on social media arguing about some other chick. That's also, are you serious right now? So
wow.
Is it equatable to the music? It's not equatable to the music specifically. I'm not saying just because you listen
but
to
the culture, though, the culture of the music.
Right. There's not a song that made a guy do that on what matters and what's value, right? And so that's the difference. And the difference in the sport, hockey is another one. You don't see a lot of major scandals, right? It is culture, but it's based on what your standards are. A lot of us just
like the Baltimore Ravens. You got not Ravens, but remember the Baltimore Orioles? Y'all had a player from San Diego that grew up here in the hood. I think his name was Andrew Jones. I think
that's right.
And he you never heard anything about him though. I never heard him in Baltimore, wilding out, getting into nothing.
In fact, he was the team leader here in Baltimore. He was the team leader. And he only spoke out a couple of times, some issues, one that I disagreed with, kind of a touchy thing. He called it a race thing. I didn't see it that way. But outside of that, he was a leader in this locker room for years, and he wanted to stay, and they got rid of him for Cedric Mullins. And he wanted to stay. He said, look, man, I'll even shift to a different field. Like, I know I'm slowing down. I'll shift to left field or whatever, or right field, so that I could stay on the team. And they said, no, they moved on a different direction. But I do remember him. He was a very good player, very good player. But he was a leader.
And Mookie Betts, he don't get in no trouble. That's why I'm just looking at Ja Morant, Mookie Betts, Andrew Jones. Then the Cowboys had a player, Callaway, I think he was a rookie of the second year or something. He just got into some trouble, and they had to release him. I think this might have been his rookie year coming up. Am I correct?
Yeah. The reason, again, these guys, and I don't look at it as role models. I don't see it that way. I see it as got to ask yourself what matters. Again, your attitude. And I said it earlier in your show, attitude trumps talent. Attitude will take you farther than talent. And so if you have the right attitude, you'll stick around. People will help you, right? But if you have wrong attitude, you'll get exposed. And that's what you're seeing. These guys have flaws, character flaws. They have attitude problems, and they're getting exposed.
Speaking of your Baltimore Orioles, I see that the Bruins put a shellacking on y'all last night, 10-2. Who the heck was pitching for y'all versus them?
Yeah, the Brew crew, they did us them last night. We're still top four in all of baseball, so I'm okay with that. But yeah, we did catch the beatdown. But I'm pretty confident. I expect the Orioles to remain competitive. I don't know if we're going to stay in the top four of baseball all throughout the summer and into and into the postseason. But I definitely expect us to remain competitive. You know, I do.
Well, all right, man. I want to thank you for being
up. Oh no, I was gonna say Kremer was the guy that took the loss, but he was a good starter. He is a good starter. But yeah, he did get rocked.
Okay. Well, it happens. But I want to thank you for being on the show today. I got to do a hard wrap up out of here, man. But thank you for definitely calling in and talking all things sport. Predictions for tomorrow night. Who you got in game for Nuggets and Heat? Who you got?
I think Miami finally met their match regarding talent. I think they can't overcome it. I think they're going home.
So you saying 4-2 Nuggets?
Yeah. I say Denver got it. Denver's gonna win tonight or tomorrow in the next game four, and then it's gonna be done. I don't see Miami winning another game.
Well, they have won in Denver before, so they do have confidence.
I see Miami losing game four in Miami, and then Denver going home and celebrating on their home court. Yeah,
I got you. Well, all right, man. Thanks for being on the show, man. We'll get you back on here sometime next week.
No problem.
All right. Thanks, my brother.
All right.
Yes. That was my number one sports contributor, DC, calling in, talking all things sports. Definitely New York Knicks, Baltimore Orioles, Baltimore Ravens. But I want to remind everybody, while we're wrapping up the show, everybody, remember to be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Pray that everybody be safe with this in the people that are in the wildfire in Canada and the people in Canada that are suffering from air pollution, along with people on the East Coast suffering from the air pollution from the fire. Keep them in your prayers. Remember to get your flu shots and all your other vaccinations that you may need. Keep your hand sanitizer on you. Keep your face mask on you in crowded spaces. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and close the show out. This is my Friday. My Thursday is my Friday, so we won't be back on until Monday when more news. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and set black, fade all, and have a great day. Goodbye.